Hello and welcome to Cat Context Podcast, episode 58 for Wednesday, August 27th, 2014. Don't laugh. I looked that up. I got it. It's a Wednesday. I was not here last week, but I am back. Hooray. And thank you to Aralate and Alindriel for the show must go on and carrying on. And I enjoyed listening to you guys talk about your stuff last week.
Sweet.
I didn't even remember what we talked about.
I know we rambled for a while about some shit.
And we were like, Leo, we'll totally edit this. It'll be
yes,
awesome.
I enjoyed that part too. I like the part where Ali was like, if there's no editing, I'll just talk forever. And I'm like, no. No, there is editing, and that is not cool. Today we are going to talk about, we're going to do a gaming questionnaire. This one that's been going around the blogosphere lately by, I'm going to not pronounce this name correctly. Arrow, you know the name, you say it.
Who, Josyla?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Yes, I knew I was going to pronounce that incorrectly, from cannotbetamed.com, and she put up a gaming questionnaire a couple weeks ago, and it's everyone's been answering it, so we're going to do a few of those questions today. The other thing we're going to talk about is PT, a.k.a. the Silent Hills teaser that was very subtly slipped into Gamescom, and I think it's pretty cool, so we're going to talk about that a bit. But first, it is the two people who clearly do not need me to have a show. It is Aralate and Alindriel. Hey, Arrow, how's your weekend going?
It's awesome. I got a library card today, so now I feel like I'm all moved in.
Sweet!
They still have libraries?
Yes, and it attaches to the library's ebook catalog, so I never have to actually physically go to the library again.
Nice.
Right? And it automatically checks your books back in, so no overfees.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
All right. The future of libraries is pretty cool. I'm down with that. Ellie, how's your weekend been?
Okay. My wife is sick, so it's been taking care of her, but it's been good. Anyway, yeah. And then I almost started a new game, but then I didn't.
Wow. I remember what you guys talked about last week. You talked about how you're not playing games.
I know. I, like, literally spent this whole morning doing house chores and avoiding sitting down at the computer and trying to figure out what game I was going to play. And then for the little while that I did, I was like, I have nothing that I want to play, and like clicked at Hearthstone and lost a million arena matches, like while not wanting to do it. It was awesome.
I feel you may not be completely getting the whole idea behind games. They're fun.
I got one to start this evening.
All right, that's good. I played a bunch of stuff actually. Well, I tried to install Final Fantasy 14. There's like a 2-week free trial, so everyone's playing. I'm like, all right, I'll do the 2-week free trial.
It's like 80 gig download.
It is like an 80 gig download, and all the instructions are bad if they exist at all, like possibly because of translation issues. Anyway, it's just a huge exercise in frustration. So I tried to play Final Fantasy. There's my, what have I been playing lately?
Sweet. I did. I forgot. I installed Arcage and played like 15 minutes of Catman and run around.
Sweet.
Yeah. And then I was like, why the fuck are the lady cat's faces so tiny?
Look, I'm laughing because that's kind of a strange point to bring up, but also, you're right, they are really tiny. Era, what have you been playing lately?
I've been going through my Steam library. I don't know, like, it's my biannual Peggle time is what's going on here. Lots of casual games, nothing serious. Playing Need for Speed with the kid, that's been pretty great.
Oh, that's a good one.
Hey, I've played all the Peggle. I'm like a Zuma master. I can shoot balls out of a frog's mouth in my sleep.
My problem with Zuma is that I need, like, ramp-up time to get into the upper levels, but when you run out of lives, you have to start over at the beginning of that level, and I don't have the ramp-up time, and I can't get past it.
I totally know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, totally. Zuma, man. Oh, I played a lot of Zuma. Anyway.
Yeah, I've played a lot of Peggle, so I understand. Mostly on my phone.
Peggle on your phone? That seems weird.
I played... Peggle was one of the first phone iOS games I ever had.
Huh.
I played hours of Peggle because I had nothing else to do, and it's really good in, like, 3-minute bursts.
I understand the casual games, but speaking of games...
Nope.
Nice try.
Look. That wasn't bad. As we talked about, there's a gaming questionnaire that has been going around the blogosphere. There are 21 questions, which is many, many questions. So we're going to kind of skip the first bunch of those. I think I put the first 10 on my blog. Ellie, I think you put the first 10
yep.
on your blog, which you have a blog. Go fig.
Nobody likes you.
I like me, and that's what matters. So we are going to answer these later questions going on. And I have looked over these, but I have not done very thorough answers. But I hear Ellie has, like, notes and stuff. So I'm going to make him go first. So, Ellie, describe your perfect video game.
No, see, that's not fair because this is the one that I okay, answered.
I got this one.
I have literally no idea. That's actually the answer on here.
I got one.
Arrow, describe your perfect video game.
Mass Effect 2.
Oh, that's a pretty good answer.
That is a good answer.
That's it. I mean, there's more games exactly like that. I mean, not like exactly literally story. I mean, the blend of story and gameplay and character and immersion and everything, it's perfect. I think that is the most perfect video game.
I was going to end up with Mass Effect, and then I decided that I didn't want to just play Mass Effect again, so I wrote, I have literally no idea.
Yeah, okay, I'll go with Mass Effect.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But you can't play Mass Effect with your friends.
Bullshit, you can't. Maybe you can't if you don't have friends.
That I'm going to sit around and play Mass Effect with? I don't have friends that I'm going to sit around and play Mass Effect with.
You need new friends.
Yeah.
No, because they're going to make the wrong decisions, or they're going to criticize my decisions, and the whole point of Mass Effect is that it is, like, an internal experience. Like, it's fine to go talk to your friends afterwards about, and I've spent a lot of time doing that, but I don't know.
I played it with friends, and it was a great experience.
You're weird.
It was one of our couch RPGs. What? Did you just say I was weird?
I said you're
weird. How is this news? Have you met me? Of course I'm weird.
That actually sounds like a good couch experience, but I do know what you're saying, Ellie, in that there's not that sort of online co-op thing, which is better.
Yeah.
I don't need online co-op for a perfect game, though. I mean, if you do, that's cool. I mean, you can be wrong. That's fine. You can need different things.
I'm not actually sure that I do either, but it definitely, like, if I was going to describe my perfect game, it would have that option. You know what, like, okay, Star Wars The Old Republic is pretty close, because when you play that single player, it's kind of like Star Wars BioWare game. And then when you play it with one other person, it's like awesome two-player Star Wars BioWare game. And then if you make it an MMO, it starts sucking. So it's clearly not an MMO for me.
I almost think, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I mean, okay, we take perfect video game. We're not saying, like, that is the perfect video game, but the structure and everything that I enjoy.
Right.
Saints Row 3. Just because it had those, like, mini games where you just go and, like, blow the hell out of everything. And I really like that. And, you know, combined with really action-packed and, like, fun scenes and crazy guns and costumes and the structure of it and everything kind of hit all the points of what I really like. And there's that co-op and single-player experience.
Yeah, I think the writing of it helps, too. It's actually funny, so, like,
right.
In the same way that I find Borderlands writing to be really funny, like, yeah, Saints Row is definitely like that. My problem is that I just like games from all kinds of genres, so then, like, it's hard to be like, take this part of this game and this part of this game, because they don't really work together, I think. Mm. I don't know. Also, I'm bad at committing.
Yes, well, that's true. All right, let's go on to number 12. Arrow, what video game character do you or have you had a crush on?
Ezio Auditore.
Nice.
That's a good choice. That's a good choice.
I can't even be ashamed, really. I mean, I guess I'm a little ashamed.
Why would you be ashamed?
No, I'm not that. I'm not that ashamed. Exactly. I can't. I'm emotionally invested in Ezio's story. His happy ending in Revelations made my heart smile so many times. Just, I love him.
Aww. How about you, Ellie?
Morrigan.
Nice choice. Okay. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the nipple caps and butt floss help.
Side boob. Morrigan's queen of the side boob.
She is. It's mostly from the main story, or the, like, non-expansion-y stuff in Dragon Age Origins, since that's the only stuff I've actually played. I never actually played her, like, side DLC or whatever.
Good. Don't. So, it's terrible.
Yeah. I'm just gonna, like, leave it the way that it was, and it was gonna be awesome.
It's pretty great. That's a good choice.
I thought really, really hard about this question, and I don't really have anybody.
You're wrong, by the way.
You're wrong.
I was told to tell you that.
I'm wrong?
I'm wrong?
No, Liara's wrong. Because
oh, okay, yeah, we know
Lior,
that.
Lior tweeted clearly while looking at this survey that she couldn't think of anybody. And
I did.
And Talon was like, I don't know why she didn't respond to you, because she never responds to anybody on Twitter, but she was like, I've had a conversation with Lior about a Garrus body pillow, so I don't know why Lior wouldn't say Garrus.
Yeah, but, like, if I compare it to, like, because I totally get, like, you know, crushes on fictional characters, particularly, like, I was thinking, like, TV shows and stuff, but I haven't, there hasn't really been any character that's really, like,
have you ever been mean to Alistair?
Hang out with the... Well, okay, Alistair's probably the closest thing to that, but the problem with Alistair is, I think we've had this conversation before, but he's kind of a wet blanket.
Oh, he's horrible.
I mean, he's adorable, but, like, you know.
He was never in my party, except when he was...
You never played a female warden, though, did you?
I didn't, no.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's hard to be bros with him when you play a dude. He just... It doesn't work.
Yeah.
I think that's probably on purpose.
He also, like, tried to take my role in the party all the time, so that sucked.
Well, that would be your fault for playing a tank. It's not like he gets to respec.
I was playing a warrior with two-handed weapons. Like, he just wasn't as good as me. Not my fault.
Nice.
Probably Alistair is probably the closest thing I have to answer this question. But it really made me think that we need more variety of dudes in games for those of us who are interested in dudes. Because there's just not that many. I mean, you know, if one has a particular type, there's just not that many dudes that are not gruff, let's shoot everybody dudes. So it's kind of hard. There's not a very good selection.
Yeah, they are pretty much the same kind of protagonist.
Right.
What about Fenris?
Oh, he was emo.
No, what I like about Fenris as written is that his character design combined with Gideon Emery's voice is a really nice subversion of that trope. I mean, you expect a character who looks like that to be, you know, the Bishonen tenor weeaboo and not growly Gideon Emery baritone.
That's true. I will agree with that. I think it says something that we have all talked about. Well, I guess except for Ezio, we've talked about BioWare characters. Thank you, BioWare, for making games with characters that we can like.
Well, the only reason why I don't have a crush on Garrus is because he's my bro.
Right. Yeah, totally.
That's fair.
I would like to go out for beers with Garrus, but I do not, me personally, have a crush on Garrus. He belongs with Shepard, period, the end.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. He belongs with Shepard. Okay, next question. What game has the best music? We'll shake it up and start with Ellie.
Oh, I thought we were going to start with you.
We can start with me.
We've done a whole podcast on this.
We did a whole podcast
on game music early on.
Wow, good for us.
Yeah. I'm going to say the same thing I said then, I think, probably, which is that I kind of have trouble with game music because usually when game music is really good, it just sort of makes me like the game more rather than thinking about the music. But there's been a bunch of indie games recently that I really like the music for. And I wrote down Bastion and Journey as two examples. And then the other one I wrote is the original Killer Instinct on N64? Super Nintendo? Whichever one I came out on. Super Nintendo, I think. I don't know. I have that CD in my closet still. So I really like that like early electronica whatever thing. That was cool.
Era, how about you?
My problem with this is I could not limit it to a game, right? So we've got Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, Final Fantasy X, and The Dig. Those four are soundtracks that I can listen to over and over again, and they all evoke a different mood.
You know, I'm thinking we did do an episode on this, I feel. And now all of a sudden I'm like, oh, yeah.
I think I said I liked Defiance music at that time, too, which I still do.
Oh, yeah, and I think we mocked you for that.
That's probably true, but it's actually pretty sweet. You should listen to it.
That must have been somewhere in this 6 months where you did not shut up about Defiance. Stop trying to make fetch happen.
Season 2 is almost over right now, and it's pretty awesome.
Oh, boy.
Fetch is still not happening.
I also do not listen to music that much in my games because I'm a terrible person. No, I just like hearing the sound effects of like creatures sneaking up on me and stuff, so I tend to turn the music down. That being said, and upon reflection, I'm pretty sure.
Shit, and Silent Hill 2, damn it.
Uh-oh.
Sorry.
Whoa,
it was the creatures
okay.
sneaking up on me that got that in my head. Sorry.
Good. No, that's good. So I guess I probably said Hotline Miami last time because it was really good and I really like that retro synthy stuff.
Oh, yeah. You might have said that.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would say. I think Wildstar, I mean, you know, has really good music.
It does. It does have good music.
To the point where, I mean, trying to log in the first day and I listened to, like, the login screen music for 2 hours and it did not drive me insane. Or even, like, the very peaceful I'm building my house music. And so I gotta give props to that. It's probably some of the best music in MMOs I've heard. But in general, I'm not really a soundtrack person.
I turn the music off in MMOs, but not in other games. Sometimes I, like, adjust it down because I want to hear dialogue. But I pretty much leave it on in every game. It's just, yeah, not MMOs. You can't have 300 hours of interesting music.
No, there got to be a point where I'm like, okay, Ironforge, no more Ironforge music. I just can't do it. Okay, most memorable moment in a game. And some of these questions are kind of tricky to answer, but let's one of the most memorable moments. Let's put it that way. And I don't have an answer yet, so let's ask Arrow.
Mortar is best removed with a narrow scraping implement. That is going to be with me for the rest of my life.
That's Phantasmagoria, right?
Yes. It is. Yeah. There's a really funny Let's Play of that by Low Tax and Slow Beef of Something Awful. So for those of you who have not played Phantasmagoria, look that up.
I think we talked about that on the podcast, too. I was going through this, I'm like, man, we talked about a lot of these things on the podcast.
Well, 58 episodes, man. We got to talk about something.
I don't know.
Ellie?
I haven't talked about mine. Mine is from a mud gemstone that I played a long time ago, for a long time. And I think I said it was my favorite game, which was kind of awkward, but whatever. I got stuck. So we had like these special festivals that you paid like $30 to like go for a weekend to hang out in the game with other people and like get people to do customizations on your stuff and go to a costume party and whatever. And a bunch of us like went into this haunted mansion and we got stuck in the haunted mansion for like 4 to 6 hours. And we were all in the same room because the exit was broken and the... And we couldn't get out.
Oh, mud.
And, and we were playing on a server where if you die, then all of your shit drops where you are. And then every, I don't know, a few minutes, like, a garbage collection routine comes and, like, wipes all your shit out forever. So after, like, petitioning the GMs and, like, having them show up and how they were trying to get it to work and trying to get us, you know, they were like, did you try this? This is the way you're supposed to do it. And we're like, yeah, we tried it. And they're like, oh, I think it's bugged. But we can't get you out of here. We eventually did all strip naked and murder each other. And one person had like one teleport spell that was not like a normal teleport spell. And she managed to go out and save us or like save all our stuff. But like it was also we were still trying to roleplay. So it was like super awkward to just like all be naked and like murdering each other in the basement of this haunted mansion to get out. And that was pretty awesome, and I will remember that for a long time.
That's very memorable. I feel like even I'm going to remember that now, and I wasn't even there. So that definitely counts as memorable.
I think getting drunk and murdering each other, or getting naked and murdering each other is that's pretty great.
Yeah,
just out knows. Of contact.
Yeah, no, that was good.
Scariest moment in a game, Ellie. You're a chicken, so I don't.
Oh, come on now.
You're a total coward. You said this.
No, I know. I wrote down some Resident Evil 2 bullshit. I don't know if it's like the dudes hanging from the ceiling, the creeper things with the long tongues, or the scary dog jump scares, or like something else. I just remember Resident Evil 2 being way scarier than Resident Evil 1 for me, and infinitely scarier than Resident Evil 4, I think, which is the one that I played on the Wii.
Mm-hmm. Resident Evil 1 was scary as hell.
Yeah, I don't know. 1 and 2 were both pretty scary, and I played a bunch of those at a time in my life when apparently I didn't like myself as much as I do now.
Arrow, how about you?
There is a sequence in Fatal Frame 3 where the protagonist that you're currently playing is taking a shower, and she comes out and looks in the mirror,
Nope.
and then there's, yeah. Like, at least nope. I'm still gonna make you play these games. And it's spectacular. And it they're all through the game, there's this ghost is just hanging out in the real world house, not the haunted house. Like, you walk past the closet and there's a pair of shoes there and they've got feet in them, but no one else comments on it. It's just there in the closet. There's Himeno in the closet. Or, she's sitting under the stairs next to the plants, but coming out of the mirror was spectacular.
I really have to play those games. I really have to find an emulator and play those.
They're so good.
Do they hold up? Like, because
Yes.
sometimes the scariness doesn't hold up for me when the graphics are, now that I like expect fancier graphics for that stuff.
The first one is a little awkward, but the story is worth it. I would probably let's play it rather than worry about an emulator for the first one. But the second and third ones are so good, and the Wii one is 4, and that is really hard because you've got the camera and the flashlight as the nunchuck and the controller.
Do you like hold the
Yeah.
flashlight up like a police officer?
Oh man, I should get that.
And that one's really spooky because it's a lot more immersive when you're actually moving the flashlight around with your hand.
Sounds really scary.
That was the stuff that the Wii controller was really good for. Like, there's a lot of stuff I don't want motion control for, but sometimes it's really good at adding immersion.
The third one is my personal favorite. The second one comes really close. The fourth one has the best music.
Nice. Okay, that's going on my list. Scariest moment in a game for me. First of all, I want to say, although I did not play it, I just watched someone else LP it because I don't have a PlayStation 4. But oh my god, the Silent Hills teaser, you guys. We'll talk a bit more about that later, but so scary. And not in like a over-the-top Outlast kind of, we're going to show you shocking things scary, as in creepy as hell. So creepy. So that is going to be very, very interesting. As far as things that I actually played, I'm going to have to say the first Silent Hill when you're at the school and it turns into
And the
night.
siren comes on. Oh,
And the
God.
siren comes on, and all of a sudden everything is even more really wrong than it was before, and there are tiny baby things trying to eat you. So scary. So scary. But back in the day, in particular, you just didn't even. Yeah, no. It almost. I'm in the courtyard, and I'm like, if this wasn't here before, everything wants to kill me.
And it's all rusty and covered in blood, and you don't know
Right,
why.
right.
Oh, actually, I have a better scary moment.
Okay.
Silent Hill 2, you're exploring an apartment, and you go check out the closet. The door locks behind you. You turn around through and peek through the edges of the closet door,
Don't
and
do
there's
that. Why
Pyramid
would you do
Head.
that?
Well, you're trying to leave. You turn around to leave the closet, but there's a noise, and so you peek through the door, and there's Pyramid Head raping the nurse demon, and it's the most horrifying thing in
Wow.
the world. Oh my God, it's really scary. It's so great. Play that game too.
Yes, that would probably be my scariest moment in a game. Heart-wrenching moment. I'm just gonna start off with this one. Heart-wrenching moment. Gotta be the end of Mass Effect 3, aside from the sort of grr at the actual changes. My particular shepherd passed away at the end of Mass Effect 3, and I was really sad, and I had to actually call a friend at like 3 in the morning because I was like, I'm not going to bed till I finish playing it. And I'm like, my shepherd's dead!
I still haven't finished that game because
Well,
I'm a sucker.
your shepherd may not be, but that's just what happened to my shepherd. And it sort of not only seeing your shepherd, and the end of this world that you really, really love, but just knowing that the series of games that you really love is at an end, and it was all just really, really heart-wrenching was a great way to put it. So that would be mine. How about you, Arrow?
The end of Final Fantasy X. I still get all verklempt when I think about it.
I'm trying to remember the end of Final Fantasy X.
Oh my god, it's. Oh, with the. Okay, so spoilers for a 20-year-old game. That's. She. Yuna has to summon all of the Aeons and defeat them because they have to be destroyed so that Yu Yevon can go away and all of the Faith go away. And when the Faith go away, that means Tidus and Auron have to go away. And. She tries to hug him, but he's not really there anymore, and she
Yeah.
falls down, and oh my God.
Oh, I remember that now. That's horrible.
And he says goodbye, his spirit self, and he runs and he jumps off the ship and he goes through and there's all of the dead people who were also Faith, and he gives his father a high five, and it's his daddy issues and
How about you, Ellie?
Mine is in Heavy Rain, which is a game filled with heart-wrenching moments, but it is in particular the one where you are trying to feed your son when he is over for his weekly visit, and well, in our playthrough, we failed to feed him, and we sent him to bed hungry after. Yeah, I don't know. There's a really good Kumail Nanjiani part of Beta Male, I think, is his stand-up special where he talks about it, and it's also on YouTube. And that's basically exactly how I felt, except it was traumatizing and not funny at all.
Oh, David Cage. No, you failed the quick time to feed your son on time.
It's brutal. I mean, I'm not even sure that's like the worst, most horrifying part of that game, but that is the one that like that one, I don't know. That one's pretty brutal.
Right, that's good. What are some websites and blogs that we like about games? Website that we like about. Yeah, that's good enough. We all blog, Ellie, we all have sidebars on our blog, so it's kind of a tricky question, but are there any unusual websites that maybe people don't know about that you like for your gaming
Do I
stuff?
have a sidebar on my blog? I don't think I do.
Oh, do you? You should.
I should, but the problem is I
What kind
don't
of blogger are
really read that many blogs. Sorry, guys.
you? Yeah, I don't have really anything that people don't already know about. I would love for people to suggest things for me that I don't already read. Basically, if I follow you on Twitter, I probably read your blog.
Mostly get gaming news and stuff through podcasts these days. And I'm a elitist jerk benefactor. Although it's not elitist, we're not at that website anymore, but I'm still a member of that community, so that's my like primary gaming website, I guess. Sorry, blogs. I love you guys, and whenever I read them, I go into like I read all these people's blogs and then I try to link to people, but like mostly I get the like highlights from IRC, which is Lior and Arrow mostly telling me, "Hey, look at this horrible blog or this really good blog post." Or Talon tells me, so.
Blogs that you may not know of. There's a relatively new blog called Simcha and Alts, or Simcha's Many Lives, excuse me. And she is a deaf gamer and does some really cool stuff, like doing Let's Plays that are subtitled and captioned, or she will do the American Sign Language in the corner, which is really neat and something that I haven't seen done before. And she just, really has an interesting approach on games. I like just. There's so many blogs and just basically all the big ones, and I read a lot of them, and thanks everybody. I like all your blogs. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I link to everybody all the time, so you're all awesome. And podcasts and stuff. One podcast I do listen to that people may not know about is Video Gamer UK, which is actually console based publication in the UK. But they're really, really funny. And they sass each other a lot. And even though it's console stuff, which I don't really care about that much, I like it just for the interplay between the hosts and whatnot. So that might be a podcast you're not listening to.
That's the most important part, yeah, absolutely.
What's the last game you finished, Arrow?
Black Flag, Assassin's Creed 4. 5. 4? 4. Yeah.
Four. Four.
I've been doing a lot of games that don't have endings.
Stupid games that don't have endings.
Well, like I said, I'm on a casual game kick, and Need for Speed with the kids, racing games, that kind of thing.
No, I know. I actually want games to have endings. Like, it's way more fun when I can say that I finished a game than, like, I put 40 hours into Spelunky this month.
Right. Yeah, and that I just haven't had. There hasn't been time. But now that I have a library card and I can say that I'm officially moved in, she says, staring at the boxes in the office that are still not unpacked. Maybe I can sit down and finish a game.
Ellie, what was the last game you finished?
Wolfenstein. Wolfenstein!
Nice.
That was the last one. Aside from that, haven't really been playing games with ends either. Like, yeah, card games and FIFA and casual time fillers. Keep trying to play MMOs and not getting very far. That kind of stuff.
I also play lots of endless games, so many endless games, like Hearthstone, which I'm getting better at. I can feel it. But probably the last game I finished was Costume Quest, which was great. And I hear there might be a Costume Quest 2, which I would like them to do because I really enjoyed Costume Quest.
Sweet. I heard good things about that. And
I have that on my
Xbox.
My Steam list. I just need to play it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's adorable. It's very, very much an RPG. But it's, yeah, it's got a good framework. What future releases are you most excited about, Ellie?
Destiny and the unannounced Uncharted game and probably Mass Effect 4. Oh, and Dragon Age Inquisition.
Right. Arrow, how about you?
Oh, you called me. I'm sorry.
I did. That's okay.
I thought you were agreeing with Ellie. Silent Hills, Silent Hills, Silent Hills, Silent Hills, Silent Hills. Oh my god, Silent Hills. Also, Inquisition, I think, and I can only really look forward to this fall season. I can't get excited about things that won't be coming this year. I gotta ration my hype.
I respect that. Yeah, Silent Hills?
Oh, that's weak.
It is weak, I know, but I honestly, there are no future releases that I'm excited about. And that doesn't mean there aren't games coming up that I'm going to enjoy and play and really, really like. It's just there's nothing that I'm like. And even watching, like, I watched the E3 showcases, I watched the Gamescom showcases, and there was nothing. It was Mass Effect 4, but, I mean, we know so little about that.
Yeah.
We just know that, you know, there is going to be something that they are tentatively calling Mass Effect 4, and there's a tree. That's all we know. So, So really, there's nothing that I'm super hyped for. I think Archeage will be really fun when it's launched. What about
Warlords of Draenor?
Don't nod like that, like a troll face.
No, not really.
Didn't you buy it already?
Yeah, I did. I did buy it already because I wanted the.
Does it come with a month?
Insta-level paladin? Probably.
Yeah.
I think so. I'll probably end up doing what I did with Pandaria, which is waiting until the very last patch, and then
I might play the first patch and then just like kind of go, or not patch, but like first month or so, and just kind of go in and out. I'm not intending to play it anything other than super casually. So,
yeah, actually, if any of the MMOs that are in the future that I'm most interested in, would be, and I mean interested, we're not talking terribly interested, but it would probably be the next expansion for Rift, which is supposed to be out like December, January.
I forgot there was a second expansion for Rift. Well, sorry, yeah, Tryon.
There is.
Sorry,
there, Tryon. They are going to do one. And Vanilla Rift is my favorite MMO ever. I didn't like so much what they did with Storm Legion. I'm not a big free-to-play fan, but you know, I mean, of anything that's coming out, that's probably what I'm most interested in. Not to say I'll play it, but that's about it. Basically, I hate video games, but I'm the only one playing them.
But the problem is that, like, over the last several years, most of the games that I've enjoyed the most are, like, small titles or indie titles or, like, mid-year sort of non-hyped titles. And I totally expect that to be true over the next year plus also. So I don't think it's necessarily that weird. It's more a comment on AAA than it is on... You know, I mean, I don't know, like, AAA games get so much hype that they're almost sort of inversely unexciting, right? Like, but I don't know.
That's true.
I mean, I'm just looking for the next, you know, Bastion or whatever.
Yeah, actually, that does remind me. Assumingly, they're going to do, I can't remember the name of the studio. The people who did Binding of Isaac, who are they?
Some people who need to learn how to use a controller.
Oh, burn.
People who did Binding of Isaac, what is the name of your company? So the people who did Binding of Isaac, whose name I can't remember because I am the worst host ever, they are going to be coming out with Mugenics, which is their...
Oh, that game.
Cat
Eugenics
game?
Yeah.
Cat?
We saw that at PAX last year.
Yes, and I love those guys. I love the what they've put out so far for Mugenics. I have a Mugenics shirt. I'm totally excited for that. The other one is going to be Quadrilateral Cowboy by Blendo Games, who also did Atom Zombie Smasher. And I follow them on Twitter, and they just put up little snippets of their game, and that looks really cool and interesting. So, but not sure either of those are this year. So there's our indie pitch. Who did Bandy of Isaac?
I don't know. There's that other indie game that I backed on Kickstarter, which is still doing... I'm still getting updates for, called There Came an Echo. I'm actually really excited for that to come out eventually, but I don't think it's, like, soon. Maybe they just wanted the alpha maybe. That's the one that's like all voice controlled squad combat, like top down squad combat. No, yes, no, nobody.
No. Team Meat. It's Team Meat.
Really? Because the wiki says it's Head Up Games.
Well, Team Meat is
there
whatever.
Is the more research needed.
Damn it.
That's a good indie studio title name, by the way. We should get the shit like lock that shit down.
That would be good. Yeah.
No. Okay. Whatever. No.
Whatever. Next question. Do you identify as a gamer? And this, particularly this couple of weeks, is a very interesting question, Ellie.
Yes.
All right.
I mean, the things that you're alluding to are absolutely despicable, and I wish they weren't a part of gamer culture, but I can't say that I'm not part of gamer culture and that I'm not a gamer. Haven't been since I was 6 or 8 or whatever. It's a definite part of my life and will continue to be, so... Yes, I am a gamer. I would like gamer culture to be a lot better than it is. And mostly it is, but not always. And there are lots of bad things, and those bad things are very visible sometimes, and that sucks. But, yeah.
Did you see the news today that...
Nope.
...about the airplane with Smedley on it? John Smedley, head of Sony Online Entertainment, had a bomb threat sent in by angry gamers for his airplane, and his flight had to be diverted.
What?
Uh-huh. That's the thing that happened today.
That is totally not the worst thing that happened this week. It's pretty bad, though.
No, it's not, but it's just like, I mean, you know, after a long, bad week, it's just like, really? Really? Arrow, do you call yourself a gamer?
Yes.
Shut up, man. it's hard because it's very difficult to feel like I'm a part of a culture that obviously does not want me to be a part of it. So on the one hand, there's, you know, my sheer bloody-minded stubbornness. Fuck you, I'm totally a gamer. I don't need a penis to hit the keyboard. But it... Why do I want to expose myself to the kind of bullshit that you have to go through if you identify as a gamer and other people who identify as gamers think you shouldn't? I don't want bomb threats on my airplane.
That is, I totally understand that. I have used the gamer label as shorthand when convenient, you know, like a Twitter profile when I want to express that I am a person who plays games and mostly talks about games on Twitter. I will use it there. Do I consider like a gamer culture? No, not really. I used to. I totally did. Where, you know, being a gamer, that would be something that appealed to me and, you know, oh, we're all part of gamers together. And nowadays, I just don't. It's just such a hostile culture. I still play games. I love games. I talk about games. You know, we do this podcast about games. I don't want to be a gamer, I think, is what it comes down to. Whereas I'm still happy being, like, a blogger or whatever.
You don't want to be, gamer. Like, a big G gamer. Or you don't want to be, like, the gamer that gets talked about on the local news.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of lumps you into the culture of being a gamer, which right now is a pretty unpleasant culture. And, okay, you know, the stupid disclaimer that we always have to do, most people who play video games are totally normal, wonderful human beings who I would have a cup of coffee with, but like 5% of them are terrible, terrible people. And unfortunately, that's a very loud 5%.
This is an interesting. No, this is a really interesting conversation, and we probably should do like an entire podcast on it because I'm gonna get myself in trouble, but I kind of view that in the same way that I view being a feminist, but as a man. It's like there's a part of that I'm responsible for. You know, gamer culture, because I have been and am a long time person who plays video games. And it's kind of, you know, I want to distance myself from it, but I can't. And so it's a really interesting but difficult topic. And, you know, that's kind of why I'm saying, yes, I definitely am a gamer, is because, like, I want it to not be a shitty title. I want it to be something that people can be proud to say that they are. But it clearly needs to change.
Yeah, and I don't think there's nothing wrong with saying that you're a gamer. you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I also think there's nothing wrong with being like, you know, I don't really want to call myself that.
Oh, I totally understand not wanting to label yourself. But I think I wonder if that isn't not wanting to be associated with the bad elements of gaming while being able to play lots of video games and talk about video games and all of the things you just said. I don't know.
I'm sort of confused. We should probably dedicate a whole show to this. It sounds like because we have no. I mean that legitimately. It's a very hot topic right now for a variety of reasons, and an interesting one that I don't think we can do properly in a short amount of time. Okay. Final question.
Yeah, I'm all bummed now.
I know.
Sorry. Let's go back to how much we love games. Final question. This is a good one to end on, too. And unfortunately, we're running short on time, so we'll have to try and be efficient about this. But why do you play video games? Arrow.
Because they're awesome. I'm just... What? Why do you eat food?
Right.
Why do you read a book? I like stories, but then I've been casual gaming also. I like things that are fun. Why do you play cards? It's fun.
I like things that are fun. It's a true but somewhat
me arrow roll dice.
Ellie, why do you play games?
Video
games.
Because they're fun. I wrote down lots of reasons, but yeah, it's because it's like how I get interesting stories, and they're more interactive and therefore immersive than other types of media for me at times. I don't know, I had a good conversation about this one too, and this is gonna go farther, but it's kind of a weird question because if you like just like Era said, like, why do you eat? Like, games are normal, like most people play games now, and so it's weird to like ask people why you do that. Like, why do you drive a car? Well, I know that some of us don't, but like, why why do you walk on two legs? I mean, you just like, it's part of the experience of being a modern Western person.
Yeah, I would agree.
But also because they're awesome. And because you get to meet people like Garrus and Commander Shepard and, you know,
Ezio
and all of that.
I like playing games because I get really easily bored. And when I get bored, I start to do stupid things. So I try not to be bored. So I like them because of that. I like the intellectual challenge that comes with some games, yep. Even if they're not all intellectual challenges, but I do enjoy that when I come across it. That's why I like puzzle games and whatnot. I like the social activity, and I like being part of, you know, the community of people who play games. I mean, I like blogging and stuff. You know, that blogging about games has been a lot of fun, so I like participating in that, and that includes playing games.
Hooray, games are awesome.
Yay! Games are fun and awesome, and we like them, even if sometimes they don't like us. Yay! Oh. Well, unfortunately, we are not going to have time to talk about Silent Hills PT. We will do that in a future episode. So let me just say, oh my god, go watch the teaser! Ah, it's so
should
good!
Should I watch the teaser?
You should play it.
I can't, I don't have a PS4.
You have a PS4? If you have a PS4, then play it. If you don't, then unfortunately you have to watch someone play it. Try and see if you can find someone who is finished it, because it's actually really hard to know what to do to finish it. Someone just a couple days ago actually figured out exactly what needs to be done. It was kind of, people are just sort of fluking into the ending and no one really knew how they did it. It's so good. Like, it's just such an excellent, it would be a great movie. Such an excellent example of tension and creepiness and
it's a shame the Silent Hill movies were not really good movies.
That's because Guillermo del Toro wasn't involved.
That's yeah. True.
And Hideo Kojima, who I have mixed feelings about, but you gotta give it to him. He doesn't do the expected.
He's the creator of Metal Gear Solid, right?
He is the Metal Gear guy, and he seems like an interesting character.
Those games are so weird.
Well, yeah, he doesn't shy away from strange mythology, which is the entire point of Silent Hill. I mean, if you don't understand the difference between Hell and Purgatory and Limbo, you can't write a Silent Hill game.
Right. So, you know, it definitely has that touch of weirdness in it that I don't think you'd be able to find otherwise. So I think that is it for today's episode. You can find us on leorblog.com/catcontextpodcast. I am on Twitter @leors. Ellie is @thatangrydwarf.com and on Twitter @thatangrydwarf. And Aerolade is at dragonsworn.net or at Aerolade on Twitter. And we're on iTunes and all that good stuff. Oh, and Extra Life. Extra Life is coming. It's in 2 months. It's going to be October 25th. Ellie and I are doing it again this year. We have raised $2,000 so far in the past couple of years, which is awesome.
Is that true?
So, yeah, that is. That's totally true. We have raised
$2,000.
Yeah, so we're going to do it this year. I have some cool surprises, which we'll be talking about soon for donators. But please check out, I have my donation stuff up. I'm sure Ellie will get his stuff up soon.
Oh my God, why are you so on top of this?
That's what I do.
She's a social media mogul.
Such bullshit. I'm like part of the local group of people raising awareness for it, but I don't have my stuff up. I did sign up to do it. It's pretty good.
That's it. That is pretty good.
all I'm hearing are excuses.
I know. It's really
bad. Yeah. Well, that's good. That you signed up. That's worth it. That's the beginning of the battle. But if you are able to, please consider donating. Even $5 will help, and all the money will go to either the Children's Hospital of BC or Children's Hospital Oakland. Yay! Okay, that's it. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Bye!
That is Bye. A really fast hand wave.
Thank you.
Trying to get out of here.
Stop broadcast, okay? Stop recording. My dad is literally calling me while I do this closing bit.